has to do with Ephesians 6. Beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. I don't know if you've seen some of these Adidas commercials or Nike or whatever. All of a sudden you'll see, be strong, or run strong, or do this strong. But it's missing that other half of the equation, in the Lord. So we can get, you know, rah-rah, sis-kum-bah, and get kind of energized in the flesh. But to have that sustained momentum and to have a real strength to accomplish things for the kingdom of heaven, it takes being strong in the Lord. So there's a strength in the flesh, and there's also strength in the Lord. And we'll talk about two great differences right there. I compare it to a thimble. You guys know what a thimble is, all you sowers out there? It's about as big as your thumb for sowing. And you can hold a little tiny bit of water in that and compare that to the ocean. That's not even a good comparison. It doesn't do God justice enough, but it gives you an idea, the strength of God. I want to be tied into that. My strength runs out really fast, I find out. My patience, all those things run out real fast. So I'm continually drawing on the Lord for His strength. So that's what we're being encouraged to do. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So two things being mentioned here, in the Lord and in the power of His might. So specifically in the Lord, the person of God, and in the power of His might, not our own. We're going to look at the rest of this, most of the rest of this chapter, in that context of being strong in the Lord. How many times you've woken up at night and you've got your mind racing, like I did last night, on flipping on that chocolate, whatever it was, the triple threat thing, and my mind started to go to work. And I started like thinking about something at work, and I'm like, all of a sudden I'm at work. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm at work, leave that alone. So I, you know, get up and I start get into the Word and I draw strength from there. But that's continually happening in my life where I'm drawing on the Lord for strength, just reaching out to Him, as Peter did as he was sinking in the water, if you remember that story. Let's move on here. How do we be strong in the Lord? Let's look at it. By putting on the armor of God, the whole armor of God, it says in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Our theme, hold the line. Be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Each word in this scripture is so significant. And it's especially in this chapter, just every word meaning so much. The whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. To have complete protection is important. Some of us think we've got our bases covered, and we really don't. We need to have a good understanding what the whole armor of God is so we can be strong in the Lord in those night hours, in those times of fear when you're up 30,000 feet and the airplane's rocking or something's going on in the family and it feels like things are falling all apart. We need to know how to draw on the strength of the Lord. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He gives us reasons, of course. In verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wow, that's a big mouthful right there. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. The quicker we realize this as Christians, the better we will be with relationships. The quicker we realize that it's not about flesh and blood. It's not about you and me and you know what I did to offend you and this kind of thing. There's something going on behind the scenes that's causing these buttons to be pushed. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means people to people. But there's something going on even behind that. Satan is manipulating people. Satan is getting a foot in the door and causing disruption. We need to be careful not to just say, well, it was my fault or it was his fault, and you know, start pointing fingers. We know where to point fingers to. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. The devil mentioned in verse 11 there. Spiritual wickedness. All of these things from the components from the kingdom of darkness working against us, pushing buttons in people, causing disruptions.
We need to know that's what it is. We'll be effective in our relationships if we realize that. The more we realize that, the better. Being able to stand and holding that line. One of the things that, speaking of Haiti, one of the things that the guys like there, the Haitian young men, teenagers, as well as the guys from South Carolina, they never saw this before, was the wrestling. The hand wrestling, it's sometimes called Indian wrestling. But from this point forward, I'm going to call it E6 wrestling. This Ephesians 6 talks about this very thing. It's all about that. It's taking a stand. And somebody is trying to knock you off balance. What a perfect illustration of Ephesians chapter 6. That pulling in. I need a demonstrator. Somebody that I can actually beat. Right? Would you? I'm not going to throw you down, Mom, really.
You really want me?
Yeah.
So you know how to do
it? I've never actually done it.
So you do the rescue grip. You guys know how to do it, right? The rescue grip is you grab the wrist, and then you're doing that kind of thing. And if you fall down, you lose your feet. You guys plant it. So what an illustration of our adversary constantly doing this every day. We need to draw strength from the Lord. You know, this stuff's going on all the time. Temptation, you know. How about let's knock down a few tonight? You know, pulling you this way. How about a little bit of porn on the internet? You know, get you going this way. He's always tugging at you. You know, how about, you know, so-and-so, you know, and start to get where you want to feel angry towards somebody or whatever, you know, and putting little seeds of whatever and, you know, whispers about somebody in your ear and trying to pull you off track from where you need to stand in the Lord. Thank you very much, Gretchen. You did awesome. So we'll call that E6 wrestling, and you're welcome to do that anytime. But realize also that it's happening every day in your own life. There's things that are pulling at you, and these things are real, and they're from the kingdom of darkness. There's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Quite a display in that kingdom. We see there's spiritual wickedness in high places, powers and principalities. There's quite a kingdom on that side to be reckoned with. We can't do it in our own might. We need the strength of the Lord. That's clear. So what is trying to pull you down here? We see the devil listed there in verse 11. The wiles of the devil, it says in my translation. Yours might say the tricks or methods. The actual methodia is the Greek word of it. It's the root word is methods of the devil. The tricks that he has, the same old stuff every time. He twists words. He gets a little confusion in there. He's the author of confusion. Throws a little bit of confusion in there, and he gets people wondering about each other, and all of a sudden, things are happening. So he has methods, and we recognize them. It's like a broken record player. Does the same thing every time. He gets you feeling sorry for yourself. He gets you in that position, then you're more easy to take that drink. More easy to go down that wrong road. So he has his methods. We need to be aware of them, it says here, as we're in that wrestling match. Oh, he's going to pull this way, and then he's going to trick. He's got his tricks. And those things that he puts, those thoughts that come at us, like fiery darts, we'll see in the scripture. So the devil, powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. This sounds very serious, and it is. We all need to take it very seriously because it's reality to us every day. Sometimes we see in the news things that don't make sense. Somebody does something horrendous, and it happens way too often, in fact. We need to understand that there's powers and principalities. There isn't any reason going on there. There's wickedness happening. We need to stay close to the Lord. There's no question about it. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Note the word take. In verse 11 it said put. Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Boy, see, hearing something repeat here about standing. You know, holding that line. Staying planted. Verse 13 actually says take unto you that armor. So we're taking something from God. We're receiving something from Him. It comes from God. So there's a put. We're going to put it on, but first we need to take it from Him. Receive it from Him. We ask in faith. take unto you the whole armor of God. It's sandwiched right in between this, that nasty verse right there of 12, of all those principalities and powers and wickedness and all that junk going on. Sandwiched right between that, we see put on the whole armor and take the whole armor. Sandwiched right in there. Armor is very serious. Putting on the whole armor so there's no vulnerabilities happening. That's key. Putting on the armor, of course, requires action on my part. There's things that have to be done, so we'll be breaking out those verses a little bit. Taking from the Lord means I don't have it. I don't have the strength. I don't have this armor in myself to fight against these things. I don't. I'm no match for those things. I'm no match for those things that are pulling all the time. I'm not. I am not. The longer I live, the more I realize that I need the strength of the Lord. So I need to take it from God. And this armor comes from God. I need to receive it from Him. Ask in faith. And then put it on, actually. Not just ask for it and turn the other way and forget, leave it there on the chair. I need to actually put it on. So we'll be talking about that. Roger needed a bee suit this past week. And then, in particular, when you're going after bees, you need to have every part covered, right? Because you leave, if Roger just put on one part and his arms were exposed or whatever, he's got vulnerable areas right there. And the bees will, of course, find that, especially those nasty yellow jackets that he was going after. So we see the word stand here repeated in verse 11, 13, and 14. Good to underline those. Holding that stance, that Ephesians 6 wrestling match that we're all in every day. Hey, your spouse is in it, your wife, your husband, your family is in this wrestling match too. We're all in this blocked position. Our flesh has these tendencies, the world pulling at us, the devil. So the idea of being knocked off balance is clear here as we look at this. It says, having done all to stand in verse 13 there. Take that whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Some might look at something like this and we think, well, that is talking about the final result of our life, how we end up. You know, we finally arrive at a place where we're strong in the Lord or something like that at the end, you know. And that does matter. And that's our, you know, the ultimate goal is how we finish. There's scripture that speaks of that. To win the game, to finish the race. Verbiage is used in that way to describe our life. To hear at the end, well done, good and faithful servant. We all realize that. But in order to finish well, each step of the race, each play of the game matters, doesn't it? Each play of the game, each step of that race matters. Notice here it says, in the evil day. You can think of each play or each step of that race as one day. One day. Matthew 6:34, Jesus spoke to the people around him, do not worry about tomorrow. They were all worried about all these things, like I was last night thinking about work. This scripture came to me and it brought strength. Do not worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You have something going on today that needs to be dealt with. Don't worry about tomorrow. The game play is going on right now. Not tomorrow, not next week or next year. Right now is what matters. Then the victory will come in the long run. So we need to look at each game play, each step of that race as one day. That's really important. So the battle will come today. When do I need to take from God that armor? Today it needs to happen. When do I need to put on that armor? Today it needs to happen. It is at the end of today that I need to be found standing. Still standing. Not falling over. Drunk. Not just messed up. Because I'm in a place of self-pity, whatever it is. I need to be found standing or just gossiping with somebody at the end of the day. That's not standing. I need to be found standing at the end of the day. Look at each day as one step in that race. And make that your goal, to be standing at the end of the day. Realize things are going to be tugging at you throughout the day. What does the standing mean? Does it just mean not falling into temptation? Is that all it is? Well, it's part of it. It's part of the Lord's Prayer, actually. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What's the significance, though, of remaining standing? Why is that important? What's all this standing about? Let's skip down to verse 19 and 20, and we'll come up after we go to 19 and 20 and cover the actual armor. And for me, that utterance may be given, this is Paul the Apostle speaking, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is talking about his calling. He's an evangelist. He's one of the early church evangelists going from town to town. Listen to what he's asking, that he might boldly. He's asking this. Don't think Paul woke up every day and he had the energy of the Spirit and he was just riding that Holy Ghost train right off to the sunset. He had a battle every single day. Listen to him ask for the strength of God right here so he can do what God has called him to do. That's what standing is about. I want to stand on that ground and not waver from what God has called me to do. He's called me to be a pastor. He's called me to be a husband. I don't want to step away from that and fall. The devil will try to pull me away from that calling. I want to be, at the end of the day, solid as her husband. I want to be standing at the end of the day as a pastor, solid, praying for the church that God has called me to preach to. I'm not throwing my hands up in the air or something like that. That's maybe down on my butt. That's not good. I'm not standing on. God has called you. God has called all of us. He's got a calling and purpose on your life. Stand in that calling. Don't get knocked over. Temptations are just one example. The kingdom of darkness, where Satan can knock you off your balance. Discouragement, tiredness, weariness. I'm tired of this. That's why there's scripture that says, don't grow weary in doing good and doing well, because you'll bear fruit in due season. You know, that thing that God's called you to do, it'll come to fruition. Weariness and tiredness, I can't go anymore. I can't stand anymore. This pulling, all that, get in the scripture. Draw strength from God. I know you can't do it. I know I can't do it. There's someone that can. Much stronger. There's a power and might. Back to verse 10, and the power of His might. His stand and my stand and your stand is the calling and purpose that God is in your life, has put in your life. For him was making known the mystery of the gospel. He's asking for prayer so he could stand in what God called him to do. Note the boldness mentioned here. That's power from God. Not power. Not that something that you would give me a cheerleading squad. Go, Paul. Rah, rah. Go, Paul. And then the cheerleaders show up and then you're energized for a few minutes. No, he wants something from the Holy Spirit to be energized from God, the real power source. So he can continue to do what God has called him to do. You think he had rough nights? You think he had doubts? You think he had rough mornings? He sure did. He's a human being like me and you. He drew his strength from God. And he's sharing with us the truth about that. Thank God for Ephesians 6. Because that wrestling match is true in your and my life every day. This power from God is where Paul needed to obtain his standing and his calling. It's okay to ask for prayer. You see Paul asking for prayer here. Again, he's not on the Holy Ghost train and he's all set. He's asking for prayer from his brothers and sisters that he would have this power and strength to continue in his calling. It's okay to ask for prayer. In fact, prayer is part of this armor that we're talking about. The strength and power of God that enables us to be standing through the day today. Today. So these elements of the armor, like I said, we'll go over these right now, these verses that I skipped over. Actually going from verse 18 backwards, up prayer, as I just mentioned, praying always And verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Wow. Prayer. Part of our armor. Part of the equipment that God has given us. Very powerful. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful. Personal prayer and also body prayer. The church praying for each other. Don't stop doing that. Even if you get mad at somebody in the church, that happens. Even if you start wondering about somebody, pray for that person. That will happen. Guess what? You're getting yanked off of that platform. Know the wiles of the devil. It says for us to learn these things, his methods. You see it happen. He gets his little nasty claws in there. We need to be mindful of his methods. Aha, I know what you're up to. I'm going to pray for that brother. I'm going to pray for that sister. Even though, for some reason, I'm not happy with him right now. That doesn't even matter because it's not about flesh and blood. Jesus died for that person. I need to be praying for them. Prayer, personal. That's part of our armor, just praying to God in our throughout the day in the car, wherever it is, and then the body praying for each other. Always, it says here, that should be happening on a daily basis because that struggle is going on a daily basis. It's in the Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. We're not praying in the flesh. If you're praying in the flesh, it's not going to go anywhere. You yield to the Spirit. Realize when you're praying that the Holy Spirit is involved. We're watching. It mentions here in verse 18, take a look at that. Watching. We're watching for the methods of the devil and what he's up to. We're watching. We're mindful of these things and we keep on top of it. Persevering, it mentions in verse 18 there. You visualize not only yourself being pulled in a wrestling match on it on an everyday basis, but your husband and wife, your sister and brother, your family. They're in that. They're in that fight every day. That stuff's going on. That should motivate us to be praying always and persevering in prayer. Have that in your mind, mental picture. Your son or daughter is in that wrestling match. How we know that as parents. Oh my goodness. Part of our body armor. Part of our drawing the power from God. Taking that power and putting it on is praying. Verse 17, working up through backwards here. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Two things mentioned in that verse. The sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit we'll take first. That's the Word of God. Cool. Part of our armor. Part of our taking from God something that is of power and putting it on. This thing is a weapon. This thing I'm holding right here. In fact, it's the most powerful weapon you will ever know. There is no weapon more powerful than the Word of God. It is the most powerful. In fact, when we see that the two players from the two kingpins from both kingdoms, Jesus and Satan, in the desert, what's going on there? What are they exchanging? Are they shooting each other with paintball guns? Are they shooting each other with bazookas? Did they both get an F-15s and launch them all, baby? Nukes? What was it? These are the two most big powers of the universe. Battling it out. What's going on here? Did Jesus ball up a comet? Shove it down Satan's throat? That would be nice. He did something more powerful. He defeated him with the Word of God. Guess what Satan used as well? Same weapon. Misused it. He used the Word of God. You study that in Matthew, early chapters of Matthew, and in the desert. Satan uses the Word of God. He quotes Psalm 90 or 91 about Jesus jumping up, the angels catching him and things like that, tempting the Lord. Misusing the Scripture. But that shows us that is the most powerful weapon. That encourages us to use this weapon ourselves. It's a sword. It's powerful. Jesus was on this wrestling match too. You imagine that? Wrestling right directly there in the desert. Talk about in a week and stayed in an 8 and 40 days. Guess what? On day 41 for the human life, you're dead. He was right at the cusp of death. Talk about drained of human strength. He had no strength. Totally from heaven, relying on the Father. Remember, he was 100% man. tempted in all ways. And then he felt it. He felt what we feel, 100%. He felt that tug and a pull and those tricks. He defeated Satan in the desert. He was left standing. He defeated him with the word of God. It's a powerful weapon, the sword of the Spirit. The other part of that, verse 17, is the helmet of salvation. Salvation is more than just about going to heaven and having that ticket in your pocket. It's about your rebirth now. It's about the old life being swept away and a new life being raised up. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. Our rebirth, that gift of the Holy Spirit that God gives us, brings us into a place of power, it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, of love and of a sound mind. This helmet of salvation. Is your mind going crazy on you? It does it sometimes. The wheel starts spinning, that gerbil starts flipping out on that cage, and man, your wheel is running. And it's like, wow, we need to calm down here. We need to calm down. We need to get our focus off of that thing that's spinning out of control. Get our focus on the Word of God. God gives us that power. He demonstrates His love towards us. And He gives us a sound mind. It's a spirit that dwells within us. There's a rebirth that happens when you trust in Jesus Christ and His atoning blood, that His blood that was shed on the cross was for you to cleanse you from every sin. When He died, He took your sin with that death and buried it. There's power in that death. So when you're getting pulled in that temptation, I can call on the blood of Jesus. I can call on Jesus Christ and the power of His death on the cross to help me through that. And I'm going to have strength. I'm going to be standing. There's strength in the power of the cross to stand. Our rebirth, the helmet of salvation, important part of our equipment. Protecting our thoughts, bringing power and love and sound mind to our walk. Now, verse 16, the shield of faith. Faith, something that we receive from God and something that we need to exercise. We put it on, we wear it, we use it. The key words for faith are found in Romans and all through the Scripture. The big one is believing. But there are all these passive words. Faith has to do with the yielding to God's power. Yielding is another buzzword for faith. I'm yielding to the power of God. Man, I can't hold this temptation myself. This is too strong for me. I need to yield to the power of God. I need to call on the name of Jesus Christ as that pull is happening. I cannot resist it. I have to call on the name of Jesus Christ. I yield to His strength. That is a buzzword of faith. I'm yielding. I need to yield to the power of God, allow Him to flow through me, to keep focusing on Jesus Christ. Verse 15, we're working our way backwards. A couple more verses here. Your foot protection. It speaks of your walk. I don't know who got the Bloody Stub Award. We really didn't have a lot of barefoot running around. Jaden's still the world champion, probably the reigning champion yet until next year. See how he does. His toes, I've never seen anything like that. He had the muscles from down there, sliced and diced up from that, from swimming, and then running around barefoot, hitting those big things, so he had all that going on.
I tripped down there. I didn't have any socks on, but I was able to.
That
was a soccer game.
Yeah, oh yeah, there was more of that. He had some bad feet there, but praise the Lord. He got the award, the Bloody Stub Award. His feet look like bloody stubs. But I warn about it every year. Somebody's going to get that award because they're not wearing proper protection. And this is part of our armor as well, is proper foot protection. We don't want that vulnerability in our walk. I'm going to be tripped up. Verse 15, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ah, there's the equipment for your feet. The gospel of peace. How is your walk protected? We know that faith without works is dead. We need to be walking it out. James tells us that. We also know in Colossians that in the same way that we've received Him, we walk Same way we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we walk it out. It doesn't change in that way. When I come to the Lord, it's totally Him. It's totally the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next day, it is. About day 300, it is still the power of God that sustains me in that E6 wrestling match. It is still the power of God. That is very key. That is the gospel of peace. Peace, it's not my struggle anymore. Come to me, all ye who are burdened or heavy laden, I will give you rest. He starts to be the power source in our life. The gospel of peace. It is a place of rest. When you're resting under His wing in the strength of God, is a place we can rest. The same day you received Him in tears, weeping for your salvation, and He did it all. I'm just here. You walk that same way. It doesn't change. The Lord is working my life in day 3000 the same way He did day 1. It's His power and strength working through me, my total dependence on Him. Yes, I'm growing in the knowledge and strength of Him. Yes, I'm growing and understanding the wiles of the devil, but it's still His power and strength. Verse 14, that's it. Verse 14 is the last parts of this armor of God that we take from Him and put on. Stand therefore, having your loins, it's your center section, girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Two parts in this as well, in this verse. The breastplate of righteousness, one of the parts of your armor. How do we take that and put it on? How do we take that from God and put it on today? We need that today. We need that tomorrow. We look at the cross, at a perfect man, bruised and beaten, and we hear the call, as I just mentioned. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden. We hear that call from the cross, from a perfect man. Are you trying to get yourself fixed up and patched up and on the right track? Hear His call. Come to me, all ye that are laboring, struggling to get on that right track, to get yourself fixed up, get over something or get past something. Hear His call to you right now. Come to me, all you that are laboring, heavy burden with these things. I will give you rest. Everything that He did right, this breastplate of righteousness that we wear, everything that He did right as a man walking on this earth, perfect will of the Father, He's given unto us as a gift. It's His grace. Accept it. Finally, the truth. Notice it's talking about your center section. My old King James says your loins, girded. People are like, in the world, your loins girded mean. That's your center section. You might have belt on there. It's the center of you. Kind of like the deepest part of your bowels there, your center. The midsection. Your center of gravity. It's real important when you're one of these things going on. The truth is very important. So critical. Because this is a wrestling match of balance. How easy it is for us to get off balance when the truth isn't quite right. And Satan is the master of that. He'll even take the Word of God and twist it a little bit to get you to come off balance. You don't mind using the Scripture. He'll just misuse it. Anything to get you to fall on your rear end, to make you not effective for the kingdom, to get you off the calling that God's called you, get you to doubt God. Start formulating your own opinions about God and the universe and creation. He'd love you to do that instead of taking the truth for what it says. Watch out for it. Watch out for the methods of the devil. I hear it all the time. I hear it, thoughts coming towards me. I hear it from people talking. The methods of the devil are clear. He wants to disrupt the truth. He's a liar and the father of lies. The good news is verse 10, where we started. To be strong in the Lord. The Lord wants us to be strong in Him. He's not leaving us here to fend for ourselves. He will not leave us or forsake us. There's a promise for you to take home today. to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It is available to you. Not if you make the grade or if you get yourself patched up. No, right now, come as you are. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to be holding that position and not falling over. He wants to help you in that wrestling match to be the power and might. You're standing on in the end of the day, and then the next day, and the day after that. Let's pray this morning. Father, Your Word causes us to be a mature body. There's no question about that. And one of the things, as we grow in maturity, we recognize what's true and what's false from Your Word and the methods of the devil. We thank You for that, Lord. We pray that You would increase us as a body, Lord Jesus, and we pray for the desires of the hearts that were expressed today, Lord, that there would be more things like this. We'd be able to gather at camp and see blessings happen from heaven. See people growing in You, Lord. Even if it's, you know, difficult and it seems like a struggle, we're still growing. A lot of times camp is. Don't sleep right and something happens or this happens and you forgot something and you're brushing your teeth with your fingers. Just all kinds of stuff. And it challenges us. Challenges us to grow in You and be strong in You. Lord, we're going to be victorious because of You. We're going to be a body that You died for. We're going to be short of no gift because of You and Your strength. I'm excited about the things You're doing and going to do, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen.